All right, how you doing, everyone? Once again, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff here on Giants.com. The number, as always, to call is 201-939-4513. On Twitter, it is hashtag Giants Chat. Joining me today, Paulie Dotz, Paul Dottino. Again, I am Russ Salzberg. And what do you want to talk about today, buddy boy?
How about the Oakland Raiders?
Yeah, how about the, you know, what's the game plan for that? Listen. It is what it is. We're not naive. We don't know people, you know, have a lot of opinions. We've been through this before. Been through it with other great players. Phil Simms comes to mind. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of those situations. And, you know, it's a cliche in our business. It never ends well, but it never ends well. And I say that. Not necessarily meaning, and if I'm naive, so be it. I say it not necessarily meaning it's the end for Eli. I'm just saying when these things happen, when somebody is being benched, replaced, waived.
A dramatic move of any kind.
It never – listen, some of the guys who we work with, I remember discussing it with Amani when he left. You know, it just doesn't end well. But – then cooler heads prevail. Everybody takes a deep breath, and they move forward, and they go on. And it is what it is.
I think, Russ, the one thing that I'm kind of thinking about this morning is that 210 consecutive starts for Eli, playing a position that is incredibly dangerous in this league and has become increasingly dangerous as defenders have become bigger, stronger, and faster. And in spite of the safety rules that have been put into effect by the NFL to try to protect the quarterback, Eli Manning has taken so many bruising, and I mean absolutely brutal hits over his string of 210 consecutive games. I can tell you, and these are only some of the injuries that we've known about that right. He has battled through. Ribs, foot, shoulder, elbow, hand. And that's probably not even a percentage of it because you know how guys right. don't want to talk about injuries and they're just going to go through it, especially a competitor like Eli Manning. What I'm thinking about this morning is that Eli Manning just finished a run here that, or at least this streak he's finished. I don't want to say his run is over, but his streak is finished. That is truly, truly very remarkable.
Well,
and I think people need to really just appreciate and respect everything that he put forth into that streak.
I don't think there's any doubt that – I mean, that's why people react in certain ways. I don't think there's any doubt about people's affection or how they respect Eli Manning. I mean, that – you know.
You know what's odd, though, about that, Russ? He's had his critics, and many times over the last couple of years,
we've heard him here.
We've heard people.
You know, but I've always said,
say that, you know, they were not fans and they didn't know why he was still the quarterback. We've heard people say that, and I hope every single one of those folks reevaluates themselves right now with that opinion.
Eli Manning has the exterior of Opie Taylor from Mayberry, but his insides are made of steel.
Yeah.
Really,
yeah.
He's a tough, tough guy. And you know what? I had to go to a function last night, and this was all breaking. I was in the back of a car service, and it's all breaking. I'm getting texts and everything else. And then last night I get home, and I'm reading everybody's, you know, remarks on Twitter and Facebook and this and that. You know who made the best remarks of anybody yesterday? Absolutely anybody on this situation. Daddy. Archie Manning.
Archie.
And I tweeted this out last night.
Yes.
And I was kind of glad, you know, because I was involved in I had to host some event at Chelsea Piers last night. I was able to take a deep breath because when I heard it, it broke my heart. But then I tweeted out lots of emotional comments being made about Eli, but the best comes from his dad, Archie, folks. I quote Archie Manning. He doesn't have to like it, but he'll deal with it. No sense trying to predict everything right now. We'll get through this thing and see what happens. There are a lot of things to be grateful for. That's his daddy saying that. You know, you just got to take a deep breath. Listen, it's a guy, you know, a lot of people grew up with. I'm not ashamed to say it. He's my all-time, not favorite Giant. He's my all-time favorite athlete that I've covered.
Wow.
I mean the whole package, from a guy who I've covered to and there's a lot of guys who I'm proud to call, you know, over the years, good friends, Phil Simms being one of them. But Eli's just his humility, his stand-upness, his humbleness, his ability. You know, it's the whole package. But I've been through this with other great players, Phil Simms being one of them. You know, it.
Sure.
When you come to this kind of crossroads, you know, it just it is what it is, and you have to move forward and go on, and that's what we're doing here today. The number is always, folks, 201-939-4513. On Twitter, it's hashtag Giants Chat. Just by looking at the lines, we're going to open them up. We know everybody wants to talk about Eli, so let's start it off with Nick from the Meadowlands. Nicky, hello today.
Hey, how you guys doing? It's been a long time. You know, last time I talked to you, Paul, I've been working my tail off, so... And
glad to hear it.
It's a good thing, but I haven't been paying attention much to anything else because, you know, I got the news yesterday. I was listening to Francesa. Not that I listen to him too much, but I think he said it the best, really. He said they can't run this clown out of town fast enough, and that's the truth. Because what he did in this organization did to Eli yesterday, watching that interview, with him by his locker, almost bringing tears to his own eyes and almost bringing them to my eyes. He deserves way better. What they did is just, I'm not proud of being a Giants fan today, tell you the truth.
Well,
really, really, really am not proud of what's happening, especially to this guy, to Eli. Who else in Giants history has two Super Bowl MVPs?
Well, but Nick, that's not, nobody's disputing that. I don't.
No, I'm not saying you guys are. I'm just venting out.
Yeah.
I haven't been watching. You know, I've been watching every game, but you know what? I'm not. I'm going to turn it off now. I'm going to hang the jersey up for the rest of the year. I'm disgusted. Why wouldn't you put Davis Webb in there? Why would you put Geno Smith in there? Really?
But you know what, Nick? I hear your passion. I understand your passion. You're a good fan, but I also know you. You're upset now, but because you're a good fan, you want to know what? You're going to end up putting your jersey back on.
Oh, yeah.
You see what you're saying? Because, you know what? In the end, it's about the team. Because as much as you love Eli, and believe me, call me naive. I don't necessarily think, and I was talking about this with Paulie just before, I don't necessarily believe that this is the end. I think a lot of stuff still has to happen and still has to be resolved, include some feelings and this and that. Right now, it's very, very raw. Okay?
You're absolutely right about that. But it's the writing's on the wall, really. The way that I saw it in his eyes, he knows it. Eli looked like yesterday that, you know what, probably the last time I'm going to start for the New York Football Giants. That's what I got from it. And you know what? If he comes back, great. But I'm saying the rest of this year, I'm hanging the jersey up because I can't stand Ben McAdoo. I stuck up. I argued with people. I was optimistic. He is garbage.
Well,
and I'm going to tell you what else. It takes you halfway through the season to start really coaching, having some emotion out there, yelling, cheering. Come on, man. He needs to do something different, man. He's so buttoned up in his press conferences. That's why the media can't stand him. The fans can't stand him. I mean, answer a question from the heart for once.
You know
instead
what?
Of being
Nick,
so afraid of what you say.
Nick,
you ask a question. Oh, we're all on board.
All right, Nick.
We're all on board. How many times are you going to say all on board?
Okay.
Come on, man.
Nick, thanks for the call. You made your point. We got to move on. You know what it's all about? Let's not, folks, if you don't like a decision, God bless you. You're entitled to it. That's why we're here, if you don't like the decision. But we're getting into the way somebody behaves at his press conference in the end, you can stand on your head and do anything you want and spit. If you're winning, nobody gives a rat's patootie. if you're losing, that's it. So, Spencer in Douglaston. Spence, how you doing today, bud?
Not great. As a lifetime Giant fan, tough day, tough night, tough day.
Right.
You know, I just trying to wrap my head around this. I just don't understand. When I first heard the news, you know, I was open to listening, and then once I heard them say that Eli was going to be the number two quarterback, that's behind Geno. That's when I just all bets were off. I just can't understand how. I understand this move was coming, and it's for Davis Webb. I get that, but you know, why aren't we seeing Webb then? And if Webb wasn't prepared to take the reins, then that's on McAdoo. How does he have this guy not ready to play?
Well, you know what? I'll let Paul go first, and then I'll respond.
Davis has been the third quarterback and inactive every week during the course of the regular season, as the Giants believe that if something did happen to Eli in a game, that Geno, with his experience, would be better suited to help the Giants win that particular game on Sunday. I guess the season at this point has gotten to such a degree that they have now decided that it's not necessarily all about, even though they want to win every Sunday, nobody ever goes out there not wanting to win, that they must also look at a bigger picture. And that's why there's somewhat of a shift, I think. You know, if you want to try to kind of read all the tea leaves as to why Coach has said that Davis Webb will get some snaps over the final 5 weeks. I want to be very careful here to mention that Coach McAdoo said they're going to look at those quarterbacks, but he did not indicate that there was a set plan on how it's going to happen. He did not tell us that Webb is going to start any games or that there's a plan as to what games he will play. He simply said they plan on taking a look at both of these other quarterbacks in the final 5 weeks of the season. So, quite frankly, for me, there are still a lot of unknowns here. I don't think this entire storybook has been slammed shut and is finished and written and the ink is dry. I think there are still some things that are fluid.
You know, Spencer, listen, I don't think we'd all be naive if we didn't think the main guy that they want to look at, I think you would agree with me on this, is Davis Webb. Okay. As Paul just said, you know, he hasn't been suiting up. Again, this is not any inside information. You know, when I heard this situation, first of all, everybody's reacting because it's Geno and it's the ex-Jet and the mess and this and that.
It doesn't help.
Exactly. That's the optic of the situation. My gut feeling is, yeah, Geno is the guy because it's this week out in Oakland. I don't have a timetable. I wouldn't be surprised if it's Davis Webb the following week when they're back home here. I don't know. That's just a gut feeling. But I'll tell you this much, Spence, and you tell me if you disagree with this. If the announcement was made that it was going to be Davis Webb, now I'm not saying you feel this way because you want to see Davis Webb, but if the announcement was made yesterday, Davis Webb will be the starting quarterback this Sunday in Oakland. You know what the narrative would have been? So it wouldn't have been Geno. It would have been, well, how the hell could they stop the streak with the rookie who hasn't played a down in the NFL? You know, it just in this
it,
kind
you know,
of
it would have been a little bit easier to swallow as a Giant fan. Let me ask you this: what happens if Geno goes in? And this is completely hypothetical, obviously. But what if Geno goes in and lights the world on fire? He plays unbelievable. The Giants go 4-1 down the stretch. What happens then? He's a free agent at the end of the year. He's not part of the future. Is he going to be the man?
Nobody's told me differently, but I think you're as much part of the future as Geno is, if you were asking me, Spencer.
So that's why I feel like if they said yesterday it was going to be Davis, you know, coming in for Eli, and I just feel like it would have been an easier pill to swallow.
Spencer, I know, like, it doesn't help soothe the wounds right now. Believe me, I totally understand that. But I do believe there are a lot of unanswered questions and things that will develop in time and things that are still so fluid right now. I don't think it's fair to answer a lot of these things because, quite honestly, his title's not GM or coach. My title is not GM or coach. And so there are many things and many parts of this that are still moving that have to be played out. I remember when Jeff Hostetler was named the starting quarterback over Phil Simms, and everybody went absolutely
nuts.
Haywire over that.
Nuts.
What happened after the 1992 season? Dan Reeves became the Giants head coach in the spring of 1993, and he immediately installed Phil Simms as the starter, and Jeff Hostetler was traded away. Did anybody expect to see that the day that a particular coach named Ray had trouble with Mr. Salzburg in the press room? I don't think that day you thought that was going to happen.
No.
But what happened? The road winded and winded and winded, and what happened? Phil Simms eventually became the starter again and led the Giants to the playoffs. So I don't have a crystal ball, and I'm not going to tell you what's going to happen here because I just don't know.
And right. Correct me if I'm wrong. While you're on, Spencer, correct me if I'm wrong, Paulie. After leading them to the playoffs, wasn't he then released that June?
Well, Phil had torn a rotator cuff, yeah. Had surgery, and it was George Young's decision that with the salary cap and with Phil's medical condition, it was a bad risk, and they released him. And that was something that Wellington Mara came out and said immediately that he disagreed with. He was unhappy about it, thought it was the wrong decision, but also said that in this organization, the owner does not impede on the depth chart or the roster. It's up to the GM and the coach to make those decisions.
And, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That happened.
See, that was Wellington came out and said that right away.
Yes.
That's one thing I wanted to say before
yes,
I got off.
Yes, he did.
I was really disappointed, and I've met Mr. Mara. He's been a total gentleman. I've met him twice, and I was very surprised that he was not in the building yesterday and wasn't available for comment. I really
well,
wanted
well, league meetings. League meetings.
He was at league meetings. He doesn't hide from anything. He was at league meetings.
Right. That's why I'm saying I was surprised. That's all I'm saying. I was surprised that I didn't see or hear from him or there was nothing. I don't know if anything came out today, but.
Nothing new yet. You know, if anything is new, we'll let you know. But thank you for the call, Spencer. All right, buddy. Thank you.
I appreciate his sentiments. But again, as I just described to you, as we've seen history firsthand, Russ, you were there the day that Phil lost out on the job to Haslam. In fact, we talked to Phil in the tunnel of Giant Stadium. You and I are the only two reporters who talked to him.
Remember it very, very well.
And Phil was very, very upset. In fact, the scenario there, and I'm not talking out of school because I believe over the course of time the story has come out. Ray Handley at the time had told Phil Simms that I'm going to platoon you guys. I'm going to rotate you guys. Haas is more mobile, and against certain matchups, I'm going to play him, and then I'll play you in other times. He was going to go with a rotation, and Phil told him, no, you're not.
That's exactly what
pick your starter. Was. And if I'm not your starter, then pick the other guy because I'm not playing. And that was Phil's pride as a competitor, and he made his stance. He took his situation and said, this is how I'm going to deal with it. And like I said, wouldn't you know, in the spring of 1993, Phil Simms was once again the starter, and Jeff Hostetler was not in that locker room. So everything is up for change in a fluid situation such as this. I've seen it firsthand, and so has Russ.
And that is also, you know, Eli's pride. Eli was told or asked, okay, you want to keep the streak going?
Right,
for
the first half.
You can play the first half.
Eli was like,
and because Eli's pride is, no, hold on a second, you know, like, especially if I'm doing well, you know, because Eli had said in the past, well, yeah, if other guys are going to get snaps at the end, big lead or you're far behind, that's fine. But, you know, if he's doing well, he wants to stay in. That's his pride. Well, that's what made him a two-time Super Bowl MVP.
And let me make something clear, Russ. It wasn't just about Eli saying, if I do well. He simply said, as a competitor, it's not fair to my teammates or to me to go into a game knowing that starting quarterback who you're supposed to be going into battle with for 60 minutes is going to be pulled at halftime.
Yeah.
And I think that everybody can appreciate his sentiment in that regard. And it was the same way that Phil felt when he was told he was going to rotate with Hostetler. So let's see how this road eventually plays out over the course of time.
Yep, I agree. What do you say we take a trip out to Anaheim and speak with Joe? Joe, you're on with Russ and Paulie Dotz. How you doing, my friend?
How are we doing, gentlemen?
Good,
Joe.
Hi. What's going on?
I don't know, guys. It's a rough one. But
I actually have a quick statement and also a quick question as well. I feel that Eli Manning, I don't know, it's rough, but like if anyone deserves a better outcome, it's him. I don't know, like through this whole season he was the glue for this whole team, I feel like. And it's rough. I was watching the interview and like seeing him like be in tears and be like that, it's sad, you know. But I mean we all knew it was kind of like coming to this, but I feel like it should have been a way, way better, you know, that as like an organization they should have dealt with it a little bit better, you know. But with that said, is this like a kind of like an outlook to I'm not trying to go like, you know, into the draft or anything like that, but with that said, does this put it kind of in like confirmation where like are we looking for these two new quarterbacks, you know, things like that? Like, because it's kind of weird that they made this decision and that I guess like
I know you're nervous, Joe, and I appreciate that. I think what you're trying to get at is you're trying to figure out if the Giants know enough about these other two quarterbacks to
exactly,
make a decision
yeah.
on what they can bring to the table. Is that your question?
Yes. So basically, you know, it's just kind of weird that, you know, they made this decision, and then it was a couple weeks ago, USC was versus UCLA, and that, you know, they went out to go take a look at them. And I was also listening to Nate Burleson this morning, and he was saying, I'm not trying to, you know, be against Davis Webb or Geno Smith, but he was like, listen, they know, the Giants organization, they know what they have, you know? And I think it's kind of fishy for this to come out when they just went out to go see the USC game, UCLA, you know?
All right. Let me answer you. Stand back a second. Let me answer you. Oh, you still there?
Oh.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay, all right. Let me answer you. First of all, every single general manager and personnel department in the National Football League needs to do due diligence, especially when you know you're going to be picking high in the first round. You need to go scout, look at, and compile information on all of the supposed top picks in the draft. Because even if you wind up not taking those guys, you need to know everything about them, because there may be a potential that you can turn around and make a trade with a pick that is going to allow you to compile a lot more value. So the Giants would be foolish not to scout those guys.
Yeah, I mean, that's their job.
Okay, they're responsible to scout the top players in the draft. So that's the first part of your question, to settle that. Second part of your question, in terms of what do they know? Well, here's what I will say. They knew enough about Davis Webb to commit a third-round draft pick to him last year. They also know everything that they have seen and heard from Davis Webb during his last 8 months on campus. Because, Russ, since he got here, when he was drafted from Cal, since he got here, he has been nothing but an exemplary student. He has been a guy who has soaked up all the knowledge from the coaches, from Eli Manning himself. In fact, in so many ways, he reminds all of us of Eli Manning. Okay? So I would say to you, the Giants know more about Davis Webb right now today than they do any quarterback prospect coming out of college, because he's been here every day for the 2017 calendar year.
Definitely.
So, you know, should they know more about him? They should. And I can only say this. Every review that I've heard and every review that my eyes tell me are that they're positive toward Davis Webb. I think the arrow is up, and I think he's a legitimate prospect.
But as you know, we have to see it first. But listen, Joe, thank you for the call. You know, we understand where you're coming from. But believe me, they're not doing their due diligence. I mean, that's their job, to go scout the best players, especially to know what other people might want. And, you know, that's how you wheel and deal when the time comes. Let's stay closer to home from Anaheim. Let's go. Just go up to Yonkers and chat with Paula. Paula, you're on with Russ and Paulie D. What's up?
Hi. How are you?
Good. How you doing, Paula?
I'm trying to follow the conversation while doing some work. I understand all of the things that everyone is saying about how it's happened in the past, et cetera. I do, however, feel that to be put in a position where you bench Eli in favor of Geno Smith, forget the ex-Jet part, though, that's not really the case, but, you know, we're not talking about him being replaced for the next Eli Manning. We're not talking about even Davis Webb in game, you know, 14. We've got five games to go.
Right.
If Geno goes 5-0 in the next five games, he's still not going to replace Eli Manning on the roster, assuming Eli Manning's still there, which, quite frankly, if I were him, I'd be looking to be someplace else. To me, it's just a matter of disrespect, and I have never felt that McAdoo is a fan of Eli Manning's. I have never, since he came, even last year with our 11-5 season, I have never felt that McAdoo is a fan of Eli Manning. Doesn't have to be. It's his prerogative. But I think that the way he's doing this now.
Well, why would you say he wasn't a fan in particular?
There's been a lot of, you know, there are intangibles that you can't really put into word, ways that he puts things out in the press conferences. You know, other people have taken it as taking shots at him. While I do agree with that, there's just, it's just a demeanor about him. He's just, I don't feel he's ever been a really big fan of Eli. I realize that Eli is 30, whatever years old. But you know what? I really called to say this. My husband's a season ticket holder. We go to probably 6-7 games a season. And unfortunately, we'll continue to do so this season. I just want to message the Giant organization that there are a lot of people in my position that totally disagree with this, think that it's a very classless move on the part of the organization. And unfortunately, we're still going to be at those games, and I don't want him to think that the fact that we're at those games changes that at all.
Well,
no, this is not. Sorry.
No, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
This is not just, you know, Eli's been my quarterback for forever, and I support him. There are ways to do this. There are ways to do things. This is not the way.
All right, Paula, you know, thank you for your opinion.
Thank you.
We appreciate the call. Let's go from Paula to closer to home to Brooklyn and speak with Lisa. How are you today, Lisa?
Hi, guys. I'm not happy today. You know that, Russ.
Right. I know that.
I am so – it's – to me, I'm a Giants fan for 42 years, and I haven't felt this way. And you could talk about Phil Simms, but Phil Simms was hurt. To do this to a two-time MVP Super Bowl winner who's took so much of the team on his shoulders at times was classless.
Lisa, can I just step in for half a second? Phil Simms was hurt after the 93 season, and that's when George Young cut him. When Ray Handley named Jeff Hostetler the quarterback, Phil Simms was not hurt. He just wanted to rotate Simms and Hostetler. That had nothing to do with injury. So please make that very clear. Those are two very separate stories involving Phil Simms.
We're talking about Ray Handley, who was another loser, like Ben McAdoo.
Well, you could grade or have an opinion about that coach however you like. I'm simply stating facts to you. I'm a Giants historian, and I lived it, and I saw it. And there are a lot of people, believe it or not, who watch this show who probably have no idea what we're talking about because they weren't alive, or maybe they were too young to follow the Giants.
You know, Lisa, we've had several conversations with you. You know, we know you're an Eli fan. You know that we're Eli fans, big-time Eli fans. Let me ask
Giant you. Giant fan. I'm an organization fan. I've been a Giant fan for 42 years.
Okay, so
look at that man in that interview. You don't treat people that way. That's wrong. The manners are wrong. It's classless.
But
look at the outrage. If you look through Twitter, you look everywhere.
Lisa.
I'm in a preschool. My parents that came this morning are all outraged. This is a tarnish on an organization that I was proud of for 42 years. There's ways of doing things.
Lisa, let me ask you a question. Okay, let me ask you a question. Calm down. We know how you feel about your favorite guy. We get it, because we feel that way about your favorite guy, because he's probably, not probably, I know he's my favorite guy. What are you upset about? Are you upset that Eli, how would you feel if you were told that Davis Webb was starting and Eli was on the bench?
I feel what should have been done was Eli, first of all, looked like he was blindsided. He should have been called in by John Mara or Jerry Reese and told what they – I understand they need to look at Davis Webb.
Well, yeah, hold on a second, Lisa. Let's be fair here because he went home. He was told about it Monday. He slept on it and came back the next day and said, no, I don't want to do this. I mean, that's the truth. He was told about it on Monday. He went home, slept on it. He said, well, you know, here's the deal. You'll start if you want to continue that way. And then in the second half, these people will be brought in. So,
and with his pride, why should he for Geno Smith?
Now, hold on a second, Lisa. That's not what we're saying here. He didn't come in yesterday morning or yesterday and be blindsided. I mean, if you have 1,000% right to be upset, but we can't give out the wrong information.
That spoke on that interview didn't look like somebody who was settled with this decision. After 14 years
Lisa,
he gave to this organization.
Lisa, he's not going to be happy with it. I mean, you're talking about a guy who was a two-time Super Bowl MVP, and all of a sudden, he's not going to be happy with it. He's going to be upset with it, and he wouldn't be Eli if he wasn't upset with it. But
I just feel it should have been handled differently.
Okay.
And for Geno Smith, it's just wrong.
Okay, Lisa, if it wasn't Geno and if it was Davis Webb, how would you feel about it? You'd feel the same way because you love Eli, and we get it. That's what makes you the good fan that you are, okay?
But if it was done later in the year, give Davis Webb the last 2-3 games of the season. But do it, Davis Webb, he's supposed to be the guy that's supposed to be our future.
Lisa, now you're saying if it was done later in the year, if it was done with 5 games to go as opposed to 3. Lisa, we love you. Thank you, as always, for the call. But at this point, we're splitting hairs, be it 3 games or 5 games. You know, I'm sorry. What's the difference? You know, it is what it is. We get you. We understand. We can hear the emotion coming out of people. We get you. Let's go to Len in Columbia, Maryland, our friend Lenny. How you doing today, Len?
Oh, well, it's not a good day.
No, it's not.
I mean, what else can you say? Holy cow. You know, the football operation side, let me just say a couple of things here quickly. The football operations side, probably 150 people. I mean, you know, Jerry Reese down through the scouts to the players, practice squad, coaches, trainers, and so forth. You're closer to them all. You're both closer to them all, so you're probably going to disagree with this. I've been watching the football operations side of the Giants. I saw my first game in 1952, Russ. Okay. So I know a little bit about the Giants.
You're too young to be watching in 1952. Thank you.
I appreciate that. I really do. This football operation side, 2017, outside of Eli, was probably the most unlikable group of people I've ever seen associated with the Giants.
Why do you say that?
I can't find anybody to like. You look at the tweet. Now, you're closer to them, and so you probably have a differing opinion. But, hey, this is just my opinion of this group. Between the tweets and the comments and the behaviors and that whole thing yesterday and the presser with McAdoo. By the way, the optics were awful on that thing yesterday.
Well,
here's the two Super Bowl murals, one each behind Ben's shoulders, over Ben's shoulders. Were those Ben's Super Bowl banners, or were those Eli? I mean, how dumb was that? And Ben's comments, I respect what Eli means to the NFL and this franchise. He must really believe that because he said it twice. But you know what? Ben's clueless. Now, listen, let me say this about Ben. He's clueless, but I hope he wins 4 Super Bowls. I hope we compare him with Lombardi someday. I don't think so. I think he's got a better chance of being an answer to a trivia question than he does of being compared to Lombardi. But look, that whole thing, that was just, and he, no reference to the fans. Listen to Lisa. No, he could have at least said, and I know what he I know what he means to the fans. He could have said that. He didn't. He didn't. He could have added those three or four words. He didn't. Listen, John's got to get in the building. If we think yesterday was awkward, holy cow, what are the next 5 weeks going to be like? Let me give you a hypothetical. Paul, help me with this one, please.
Yeah.
We're winning 48-7 at halftime on Sunday. You bring in the backup quarterback?
Let me give you a hypothetical question, Lenny. I love you. You know that, my friend.
Okay, okay.
48-7, the Giants going to be winning it at halftime?
Have
you been drinking a little schnapps this morning?
The point is, is Eli actually going to get a uniform on Sunday? That's an insult. That's an insult, Paul.
Len.
You're going to bring him? You're going to clipboard this guy?
Len,
you're going to this guy.
Len, I'm
why
just going to. I want you to calm down.
Make him a
Len,
and you, bring Davis Webb to California
Len,
with you.
Len, just do me a favor.
Don't insult this guy any further.
Len, I feel your pain on this. Please, I'm not ducking what you're saying, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm not telling you that you're wrong. All right, let's make that very clear.
Okay.
What I am going to ask you, okay?
Yeah.
If you've been a Giant fan since the 50s. How did you feel when Connerly got replaced by Tittle, when Sims and Hostetler had their quarterback situation? I am sure that there were moments that you felt equal pain when those guys were taken out of the lineup as well. And so the evolution, when you are a great fan with an organization over the course of many years, the evolution says that there are going to be moments where you really hurt over a particular decision. But here's what I want to tell you, all right?
Yeah.
You and I and Russ, we all remember, again, the Hostetler-Sims thing extremely well. Heck, that coach gave this poor man heck in the press room over questioning the decision about Mr. Sims and Mr. Hostetler. And I will tell you, there is not a man in the entire Giants universe who thought when that happened that Phil Sims was ever going to be a starting quarterback for the Giants again. But what happened? In 93, he was the starter, and he did take them to the playoffs.
Yeah,
so
he had a great year.
Eli Manning
year
has
Listen,
not
Paul,
been cut.
You're absolutely correct.
Len.
Every one of those moments, back to the Conley moment,
right?
To the Tittle moment, to the Tittle moment, to the hot stuff, to Sims, to Collins, to and now to Eli. Every one of those were awkward moments.
Okay, so Len, here's my point.
So I appreciate what you
Thank
said.
You. And, Thank you. And here's
with
my
that
point.
Reminder to the fans. But if we think it was awkward yesterday, holy cow!
Here's what I'm saying to you, Len. Here's what I'm saying to you. Eli Manning was not cut. Eli Manning is still on this roster. As long as he is still on this roster, things are fluid. Eli Manning may very well start another game for the Giants this season, next season, maybe even 2 seasons from now. Nothing is in stone as long as he is on the roster. So please, I don't want to make this the end of Eli Manning's Giants career today. I don't think that conversation needs to be had.
Lenny, the final chapter of this story has not been written yet.
Well, I hope not. I hope not. Let me say one more thing. And you guys know this. When you go through that MetLife gate at the stadium and you get there in that lobby, there are three murals up on the wall. And I don't think they're there by accident, okay? Mel Hine, Emlyn Tennell, LT. Are you with me with all that? You guys know where I'm standing now and what I'm looking at in that lobby of the building when you go in there?
Yep.
Eli's mural goes up there.
Well, I'm not going to dispute that.
He's the man. Eli.
Yeah, I'm not. No one's going to dispute
Eli
is the man.
Whenever his career is over, whenever that is, okay, I guarantee you that there will be all the plaudits and honors that this organization can give him in retrospect he will receive. And quite frankly, Len, I think he should be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I know a lot of people on the committee who don't.
Well, I do. Yeah,
and they
I
may
do
make
too.
Him
I
wait.
Look,
but he will go
bad,
in,
bad
and he will go
in
as a Giant.
I hope Mr. Mara gets in there today. and starts to take control of this public relations disaster. Thanks for taking my call, and let me apologize for the emotion.
No, it's okay.
Hey, Lenny, you never apologize for your emotion. I mean, your emotion, you wear it on your sleeve. That's good. Don't ever apologize for that. You're a good fan, Lenny.
Thank you, Lenny.
That's the New Yorker in me, Russ.
There you go, pal.
Don't lose it.
All right. We were in the dining room earlier. When I was walking in, who was passing me? Eli. I looked at Eli. He looked at me, smiled. I said, all I was going to say, you doing okay? He gave me a pat, says, yeah, I'm doing okay. And that's Eli. I guarantee you, Eli has already, I'm not saying he doesn't have his feelings and this and that. Eli has already regrouped from yesterday. I mean, like the emotion that he showed at his locker, I would not have expected anything less from Eli Manning.
Not at all.
Because Eli Manning is not a phony. Eli Manning does not have a phony bone in his body. I mean, he's just not cut that way. He's not made that way. So he showed you his emotions. But I saw him today, and believe me, he was a different guy. He had a little giddy up to his step. I mean, he went home, thought about it. I'm sure he discussed it with his wife. I'm sure he discussed it with other people, maybe his dad, Archie. And you move forward.
You know what's interesting? The day in the hallway when you and I caught up to Phil after Ray had given him.
I remember that. Like,
Phil was angry.
Oh, no. He was PO'd.
Yeah, like really livid.
I mean, we were talking one F-bomb after
another. And it wasn't teary-eyed Phil.
No.
It wasn't calm Phil. It was Phil angry. And if you know anything about Phil Sims, you know he's a pretty pale guy. He was pretty red-faced that day.
Yeah. You're right.
You know? And that's how Phil reacted to it, but it was only in front of the two of us at the time. And you know what? I expected Phil to react that way.
Because that was Phil.
And I expected Eli to react this way.
No, but everybody's personality is different.
Yes.
That's exactly right. And sometimes, you know, like I see a lot of stuff that, like I said, was written yesterday and tweeted about. And I think people, you know, that's what happens with the world of also social media and Twitter today. It really becomes roughshod, and it becomes, you know, out of control. And again, I will read to you just some of the comments from Eli's dad, Archie, yesterday. We're talking about Archie Manning. This is his daddy. He doesn't have to like it, but he'll deal with it. No sense trying to predict everything right now. We'll get through this thing and see what happens. There are a lot of things to be grateful for. That's his dad. And trust me, his sons are everything, and his grandkids are everything. His family is everything to Archie Manning. Okay? So he's telling everybody what they got to do. They got to deal with it. Let's go to Q in Newark. Q, how are you?
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Q.
Hello.
How you doing?
All right, how you doing?
What's up, Russ? How you doing, Paulie D?
Okay, how are you?
It's a sad day, man. It's a sad day when it comes to as far as Giants fans, you know, what's going on with Eli. But, you know, I'm torn between the two when it comes to this. Well, as far as on this topic, I'm torn because, you know, I've been watching football. I've been hearing a lot of callers call up and talk about how long they've been, you know, Giants fans. But I've been a Giants fan for over 30 years. And I've seen all the Super Bowls. I've seen all five of the Super Bowls that the Giants played in.
Right.
And I never seen an organization in this kind of turmoil. Like, never. Even in the Ray Hanley era, never seen it. It's sad. It's unfortunate. But like I said, I'm torn between the two because I'm one of the fans that think, you know, I hope you guys give me a little more time because I know there's other calls that want to call. I just want to – a couple things I wanted to say before I get off the call. So I'm going to try to brief it, put it as brief as I possibly can.
Go ahead, Q.
You know, when you talk about – when I think of Eli, I think of a guy that you know that's going to be there every Sunday. He spoiled us. He spoiled all of us Giants fans. I mean, that's the one thing that we knew. We knew the one person that we knew was going to be there is number 10. 14 straight seasons.
210 straight starts. That's what you knew.
He would never. This incident, it won't even put a dent into his legacy. I just want everybody to understand that.
I'm with you on that.
Now I'm trying to speed it up now. Now, what I really want to get into is about, you know, I'm an honest Giants fan. Because Eli was, he's everything to us, but at the end of the day, we got to understand that it's a business. And I look at it from the business side, too. I don't agree with the way Eli was benched. I think Eli should have played, and then, you know, let the game play out and see what happens. If the game's going to play out, let Eli, he earned the right to decide on his own terms whether he could stay or leave.
Go ahead.
And so my point is that I just feel that breakups are never easy, and that's what a lot of Giants fans don't understand. They expect it's a certain way that a quarterback like this is supposed to go out. But it's unscripted. You don't know how it's going to happen.
You know what?
You think it's going to go one way, and it might go another way. And it's just the reality of the business. It's never pretty.
You know what?
And I understand that.
Q, you just said a mouthful when you said, breakups are never easy. Well, we say it in a different way. When the end comes, it's never nice. It just very unless you're holding up that trophy at the end, a la John Elway. You know,
exactly.
That's the way it is.
That's exactly a great career, right? And we, of course, we all wish that. We wish that for Eli. But at the end of the day, Eli Manning is the starting quarterback of a 2-9 team. I mean, that's the reality of it. I mean, I don't understand what these fans don't see that. I mean, he is the starting quarterback of a 2-9 team. It's on his watch too, and let's not forget, 14 years. How many playoff appearances? Six. It's not bad. It's not bad, but it's on your resume.
Well,
and let's not forget, in those 14 years, he led the league. Three of those years, he led the league in picks. Now that's just the reality of it. I'm not saying that to say he's a bad quarterback. I'm just dealing with the reality of it.
I think the reality, if I may just for 1 second cut in here, if you want to deal with the reality, the Giants are 2-9, and they have had a lot of non-playoff appearances over the last handful of seasons. Those are facts. But the facts are also, if you want to list reasons why that hasn't happened, Eli Manning would be way low on that list. Right?
I stand here right now, and I'm saying to you, I hope through all of this, you know, the so-called, well, I hope I didn't get you guys to think that I was basically trying to say that Eli is the reason why we were 2-9.
No, we didn't get that.
What I mean, he's on the team. Every last one of those 53 players or the whoever dressed up for the 43-man roster, whatever, is responsible for.
Fair enough.
That's what I'm saying, and I said that to say just because Eli has his rich history in the rings and the MVPs. It's still on his watch, and we Giants fans got to come to terms with reality of the breakup. Both sides are going to be upset.
Well, you know what's the song?
It's understandable.
Breaking up is hard to do.
Sure.
Okay, one more thing I want to say about McAdoo. I think McAdoo would be a better coordinator. I don't understand why he. His approach to the media and the things he explains to the media and the fans. It's like we got to guess things what's going on because he don't really give us that much detail. I'm not gonna get on his top because I think the writing is on the wall for McAdoo. Reese, we only have five general managers in our history, so I don't really know if that's going to move a move that they're going to make. But I can understand it because Reese has. I understand the draft is a gamble, and a lot of fans think they want to harp on Reese and say, "Oh, he hasn't been drafted well." Every player you pick in each round is a gamble. You don't know what's going to happen. Well, so if you get two players out of a draft, if you get two good, decent starters out of you did great.
All right.
It's a gamble. You don't know what you're going to get. You know, I love the Giants. I love this show. And I think at the end of the day, it's going to be for the better of the team.
All right, Q. Thank you, buddy. Your passion speaks volumes. We appreciate it.
You know, Fran Tarkenton was a four-time All-Star during his 5 years with the Giants. He's also a Hall of Fame quarterback, and his career record with the Giants was 33-36. The reason I say that is because when people bring up the one-loss record, and a lot of people say, well, Eli's only 10 games over 500 for his career with the Giants, and he's had a bunch of non-playoff seasons, they do try to attach that a little bit more to his resume than I think they should. Yes, he's a part of those teams. I understand that. That's a fact. He played in those games. But to suggest, you know, that there weren't many other overwhelming reasons why those teams did not make the playoffs is being naive.
I don't think that's where he was going.
But I want to make that clear because there are Eli critics who want to do that.
We've heard him through the first.
We have.
You know, we've been hearing him all season long. I think Q's point was that I think Q was a real passionate Eli fan. He was just looking at it from a business standpoint, and as a business standpoint, 2-9 is 2-9. That's on, you know, to say it's on everybody. Yeah, it's on everybody. You know, nobody's had. This has not been anybody's best season on the Giants, but not by a long shot. Out to Bayshore we go. Is it Roldy or Raldy?
Roldy.
Roldy, how you doing?
Good. I got a question, and then I have a statement. Now, first, the question is, now, I know you guys work for the Giants, and I know you guys scared to lose your job, but I'm going to still ask this question. Do you think Ben McAdoo and the Giants organization handled what they did yesterday was right?
Well, let me ask you a question.
No, answer my question. I'm asking you a question first, Russ. Answer my question, please, and then I'll answer your question.
Do I think how they did it was handled right? Probably could have been handled a little differently, but what are you questioning? What was right? The way it was done?
The way it was done yesterday. Ben McAdoo did not, and the Giants organization did not handle this right. This season has been over the worst season. I mean, we had worse seasons, but this is just really, really bad. We've had players quit on the team that Ben McAdoo did not even bench. Ben McAdoo got a vote of confidence from the owner saying that we believe in Ben McAdoo for the rest of the season, so we're going to keep him. But yet, Ben McAdoo has the nerve to say that Geno Smith gave us the best chance to win this football game.
No, hold on a second, Roldy. Is it Roldy or Raldy?
Roldy. I don't care what you call me right now. I'm pissed off right now.
Roldy, slow down, okay? Let's not use language and slow down, okay?
Go ahead.
All right. Ben McAdoo did not say Geno Smith gives us the best chance to win.
Yes, he did. I heard it. He said it.
I'll look at the transcript.
Russ, the one thing with you, Russ, you always seem to insult Giant fans. You act like we don't know what we're talking about. You act like we don't know what we see. Don't insult me, okay?
Giants fans heard it. We've seen
what was going on. So, Russ, I know you've been covering the Giants for years, but do not insult me right now.
Roldy, did I insult you right now?
Yeah, because you're acting like I didn't hear what I heard from Ben McAdoo yesterday. And I know you're a big supporter of Ben McAdoo, but his Ben McAdoo has to go. Jerry Reese has to go. And John McMara needs to step up the same way he stepped up for his so-called coach, that he's going to have faith in him for the rest of the season. I need him to say something today. This is ridiculous. This organization was built on class. Most majority of the teams wanted to be like the Giants. Right now, you think we could say that this team is a classy organization for what they did to a two-time Super Bowl champion, and you're going to tap the nerve, the freaking slick-haired dude
Roldy, you made your point.
Because right now, I really want
Roldy,
because we New Yorkers. Don't insult us.
Okay.
Roldy, give me a second, Russ. I just want to read. This is off the transcript, just so we're very clear. I just want to be factually clear, okay? What Ben McAdoo said, and this is the quote, it is absolutely 100% accurate from the transcript, okay, about Geno. We feel we can put a good game plan together and put him in position to help us win this ball game. That's quite different than the accusation you just made. And that's being fair.
I'm taking it as the same exact thing.
Whoa, no, hold on a second.
You can't do that. Roldy, you can't do that. You can't do that.
Eli Manning has been there.
You can't do that.
Roldy. Never missed a game. That is a winner.
Okay.
That Jerry Reese did not even didn't do his job to surround Eli Manning with an offensive line.
Roldy.
What they're doing. Roldy. Eli as the scapegoat.
Okay, Roldy, enough. You made your point. You made your point. See, that's – we've had a great show. A lot of passion, a lot of emotion, and I'm not doubting Roldy's emotion. But don't come on and say something that's not true.
Yeah, the quote. We read the quote.
If you want to go nose to nose, we can go nose to nose and debate if you want. But don't come on and say something that's not true. Because you know what? That's not fair to the organization. That's not fair to you, Roldy, the fan. That's not fair to anybody. Don't say something. Oh, that's the way you read it? No, you were quoting what he said, that Eli gives us that Gino gives us the best chance to win. As soon as you said that, I reacted. Why did I react? Because I didn't remember hearing that. Paul looks it up. Don't say something that's not true. Let's go to Delaware. We got, unfortunately, Coach Marvin, we only got a couple of minutes before I got to wrap things up, but I know you've been hanging on. So let's try and make it quick, my friend.
Yeah, how you guys
Hello.
Doing? I kind of feel for you today.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say it's definitely a sad day to see what happens and to hear what's going on with the fans. And I know you guys, for some reason, have to take the bulk of this.
That's okay.
I'm not going to give you the bulk of it. But, it's a sad day. I mean, it's a national news, actually.
Yeah.
Like I said, I worked.
Marvin,
I don't know if you guys remember talking to me before.
Yeah,
I
sure, think, of course.
We have. And, Marvin, I just want to say one thing, and then I want to let you finish real quick. Everybody has a job to do. They're paid to have certain responsibilities. I'm not paid to coach this team. He's not being paid to be the GM of this team. We're here to listen to you guys, to try to explain things to you guys, to try to make sure the facts are the facts, maybe give you a little history lesson along the way. We all have our own responsibilities. So please, with that having been said, go ahead.
Yeah, I understand the whole thing. It's tough. Like I said, it's national news, so you know it's big. I work for the government and law enforcement for the government. I'm sitting here, and here it is on MSNBC talking about Eli Manning right after the president's news. But the only disappointing, disrespectful thing I see as me coaching someone or me playing, I couldn't see happening and what I didn't like was the most disrespectful, even though him being benched is tough, is like benching Cal Ripken's with, he got like 200 more starts to go before he can break the record and you bench him. Mm-hmm. It was like Derek Jeter getting benched on his last year. That's where this range with me. That's my personal feeling. Mm-hmm. But the thing
Understood.
That really bothers me is the way the coach handled it when he says, we'll put you in the first half so you can get your starts in and then take you out in the second half. That's not what a competitor do, and the coach should know he's a competitor. Put him in the game, see how the game goes, and if the game is getting out of hand, which we've been losing, if it's getting out of hand, then put the other guys in and see what they do. After you talk to Eli after that. But don't come at him and say, we're going to put you in the first half and take you out in the second. Winning or losing, you're coming out.
That's why, but Coach, I don't mean to cut you off, but we got to get going here because we got to get ready to wrap up the show. As always, Marv, you're a good call. We appreciate you calling. You're right. We were talking about that earlier. That's the competitor in Eli. Eli wanted no part of that, just the same point that Paulie brought up with Phil Sims years ago with Jeff Hostetler when the job wasn't taken away. He was just told that you're going to, rotate, like on certain plays here. Phil was not going to accept that. So you respect Phil. I respect Eli.
Mm-hmm.
And it is what it is, and right now it's a situation where obviously you callers, you fans have made your feelings, quite clear today. We hear you loud and clear. But that's a wrap today on Big Blue Kickoff here on Giants.com. As always, that number to call in the future, 201-939-4513. On Twitter, it is #GiantsChat. For my buddy, Paul Dottino, I'm Russ Salzberg. Talk to you next time.